This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Just one more reference to Superman. Supposedly, Siegel and Shuster used Jewish folklore and legends and traditions to come up with this Superman character. So, in a sense, Superman is Jewish. And to make matters more interesting, the guy who is going to be playing Superman in Superman Legacy, the next film, is half Jewish. So he's the real Superman. Everybody else was fake.
It's interesting, a lot of famous comics creators came from a Jewish background, but because that wasn't particularly marketable, and you had Jacob Kurtzberg call himself Jack Kirby, and Stanley Lieber call himself Stan Lee. You know, there were a few instances like that. I mean, you name a famous comic character, and it was probably created by a Jewish artist and writer.
There you go. Okay, we got to have more Jewish people play these roles. Okay, and we need to, you know, have a rabbi role in that series somewhere. Seriously speaking, let's get back to other stuff here. But I think we started out by pointing out that the culture, the pop culture, has so heavily influenced our perceptions of UFO-related events, going back to Roswell, people remembering 30 years later and maybe not getting it right. One thing I should mention, though, because you mentioned briefly Betty and Barney Hill, there are a few pages of that story in the book about Hynek, The Close Encounters Man. And they remind me of things about it, which is that most of what happened, they did not recall until they underwent repeated regression by Dr. Simon. And nowadays, you know, we're very skeptical about hypnotic regression because it's not really bringing out accurate memories. It's too easy for the therapist, the hypnotist, to lead the witness. Here we have a psychiatrist who has no knowledge of UFOs, and we don't know what damage he could have done. But you wonder here, when you read it, when they first meet these aliens, other than their appearance, they could almost be military people taking them into custody.
That's right. And so the way it's been explained to me, or at least my understanding of it, is that under hypnosis, imagination can take over. You know, the person is asking you to tell a story, and sometimes there's a setting, and so imagination can fill in details. So it's not a way to turn back the tape and replay it. You know, there's a lot of, you know, memory is faulty, and then it just doesn't produce an accurate record. Now, sometimes hypnosis can help people remember some things, but you can't go back and replay accurately a month of your life. It's not going to allow you to do that. So, you know, there's some invention and unintentional fabrication involved, even by, you know, sincere people.
So what do you think happened to Betty and Barney Hill?
Uninterrupted journey. Dr. Simon is quoted as saying that, you know, these people were traumatized. You know, they are affected by their experience and what they believe happened to them. But he didn't think it was a real physical event. You know, there were nightmares, and they relived this. I don't think the story that they told is exactly what happened to them. Maybe there's some subset of that, but I think it just went through too much processing, and with the hypnosis, there was kind of a cycle. I think as they told the story, they believed more of it, you know, and dream morphed into story, and it just got bigger and more elaborate.
And the thing is, again, I wonder if this wasn't some kind of military experiment. They lived near a military base, were friends with the people in the military. They're an unusual couple because it's an interracial couple in the early 1960s, where interracial couples were frowned upon. It's not like today where most people don't matter, except, of course, there is a subset of people who aren't really very much enlightened. But in those days, they had to have been victimized because of their situation, and they seemed to be perfectly decent people. I met Betty Hill. She seemed like a normal, pleasant, friendly person. So I didn't meet Barney Hill. He died before any of this took place. But could they have been a victim of a military experiment to see how people would react if they were kidnapped by aliens? I mean, we were doing a lot of funky things in those years, especially the U.S. military.
This is going to be a question for Tim spinning off of this. So in Jean Vallée's Forbidden Science volumes, he talks about his conversations with some other UFO researchers that had government contacts, including Dr. Kit Green. And they discussed the possibility, and even as proven what they had reason to believe that these military sponsored or government sponsored abductions had actually taken place. So Tim, I wanted to know if you had heard about this and if you had any thoughts on whether this was contaminating the pool of stories.
You're talking about like my lab.
That's right.
Types of situations. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's something that has come out with a few alleged abductees. So, I mean, I wouldn't put it past the government to, I mean, I don't think that they are initiating, for the most part, abductions, but I wouldn't put it past them to go and get people who have claimed to have had abductions just to see what's going on and to see if there is, you know, some actual, you know, like underlying commonality between them. You know, because so far as I'm concerned, despite what the government military says, there's been interest in the UFO phenomena, and that includes these high strangeness cases like abductions for a number of years. I mean, they may come across and be, oh, we'd never heard about this before, but I think that over the years there's been a lot of interest and a lot of work done to get a better idea of what's going on, but saying that, I doubt if they actually have gotten too far along the lines.
Most of the stuff that the government does is not motivated by pure science. And, you know, a sociological experiment would be kind of out of character. I mean, all the military, all the craft that they've built, the peculiar vertical takeoff and landing devices and things like that have all been with a specific goal in mind and you know, money funded for this particular purpose. So if they did engineer abductions, I would think that they would have some specific goal in mind. And the only thing I can think of is, I remember there was at least one episode of the old Mission Impossible show where they faked an alien encounter in order to trick some evil dictator into, I don't know, you know, to either giving up a secret or, you know, something along those lines. So, you know, I think it would take something like that, some purposeful idea behind it, and not just a experimentation or, you know, to torture people. You know, there has to be some cause. I mean, some reason behind it.
There's a great episode of The X-Files that starts out with this couple on a road being abducted by an alien, and then that abduction is stopped by another abduction with big-eyed grays that turn out to be soldiers in disguise.
Let's call that abducting the abductors.
There you go.
Or something like that, right? Tim Swartz, Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg. This is a special roundtable, folks, where we talk about a lot of current issues. And we've got a lot more to come. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Of course, we go through all the possibilities of government involvement in the UFO field, and certainly it's possible a lot of sightings were caused by test aircraft. And when you consider how difficult it is for humans to recognize something that they haven't seen before, it's hard to get any reasonable description. So I could see where in the early days this may have happened. Even in Roswell, if it wasn't a Mogul balloon, well, it could have been something else. Of course, the argument about Mogul that Kevin Randall makes is, well, we looked at the schedules and it wasn't there. There was no flight around that time. And I think, well, maybe they lost the records.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, lost records. I wonder if, you know, a peculiar thing about records, and I may have mentioned this before. So since the Freedom of Information Act became available to citizens, the government has made a point of not putting anything on paper that would embarrass them. And so, and that came to be true of UFO documents. So they you know, kind of changed the language some. And when John Alexander had his unfunded experiment, not an experiment, you know, his collection of researchers and investigators and government figures, he avoided having any paperwork, and some eventually leaked out. But it was his goal that not to leave a paper trail, and I don't think he was the originator of that policy.
Well, that makes me think also of the MK Ultra documents, the CIA mind control experiments. They had those hidden in, I think it was radiation research documents. And it wasn't until there was, I guess, a congressional hearing about soldiers and civilians who had been deliberately exposed to radiation since the 1940s that some of these MK Ultra papers came out. But by then, there was only a handful of left because, and I can't remember which CIA director it was, when he left, he actually burnt most of them.
So I don't understand about government records. So when you know, how they would be able to burn them, and then when we you know, going back to UFOs, when Project Blue Book was closed down, a lot of the participants in the program kept the files as souvenirs. There was a huge collection that was found and has been digitized and of the original records. It's John Greenwald at the Black Vault has a collection of those, and you know, some of them have the original, you know, they're scanned from the typewritten originals, and they don't have some of the names redacted like the files in Project Blue Book or elsewhere. So I was under the assumption that a government file stayed locked up, and it was it's a federal crime to remove them. So there's some exceptions. You know, if they can be kept as souvenirs or burned at the whim of an official, that's not what they seem to be telling us things are like now.
Well, now, of course, we have people who take boxes and boxes of government documents to their home and they stick them in their bathrooms. They're golden bathrooms.
I guess that's executive privilege for you. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, that also that makes me think of, and I can't remember which senator it was, the senator from New Mexico, when interest in the whole Roswell thing came out again. Actually went and was trying to research Roswell and was told that all of the documents from the Roswell Army Air Force Base from around that time period, you know, 1947 onward, had been destroyed. Oh, they were accidentally destroyed. Nothing here to see. So, like you said, you know, normal protocol is that, you know, they're stamped and filed away someplace, and they're supposed to stay there and not lost or destroyed or burnt. Yet, there we have it.
So, there's some good news about documents. So, some people may have heard of APRO, the Aerial Phenomena Research Group, which was the first major UFO club. And they were around from the 50s through the 80s. And unfortunately, Jim Lorenzen and his wife, Coral, he died first. She died couple of years later, 1988, I believe it was, and her will did not have a provision for the files. And those wound up in the hands of a couple of private individuals, and they were kept, have been kept under lock and key. So it's just happened now that David Marler's group, the National UFO Historical Records Center, has been given these files, and they're massive. It's like, I think, 15 filing cabinets and 60 boxes. And they've been locked up in a garage for decades. And from what I'm told, there are original photographs, possibly some things, some relics, correspondence and things. I don't know how much UFO evidence there'll be, but there's original case investigations. And so, I mean, we don't actually know. It's been locked up. No one's seen this in almost a lifetime. So, it's going to take a long time for it to be processed and shared, but I'm very encouraged. That's one of the few pieces of good news we've heard when it comes to UFO documents in history in a long time.
That was an interesting organization, APRO. They did a lot of investigations of creature sightings. In fact, there was an article I read in Jim Moser's Saucer News, "How Close Will Major Kehoe Let a UFO Get?" And he seemed to be very circumspect about contacts, landings, things like that, whereas APRO was more forthcoming. APRO also didn't want to call them flying saucers or UFOs. They called them UAOs, unidentified aerial objects. But that label didn't outlive the Lorenzans.
Yeah, It's really interesting, and looking at the history of the organization, MUFON was a spinoff of people who didn't like the way the Lorenzans ran things, and they formed a rival organization, and it was because of the bad blood between them. MUFON didn't get those documents when the Lorenzans passed on, but I've read some of the correspondence between the groups, and they seem to be very hostile towards one another and very territorial. And some of them, they would, to the extent where if the APRO was investigating the Travis Walton case, and then MUFON kind of snubbed their nose and said, "Oh, this is another contactee story," or something like that.
I've got stories to tell about them too, but I'd like to take that to our next segment as we continue with our special roundtable with Kurt, Jean, and Tim. You're in
the Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. A federal appeals court Friday allowed lawsuits against Donald Trump over the U.S. Capitol riot to proceed. The court dismissed Trump's claims of presidential immunity. Friday, the House took a decisive vote and expelled Republican Representative George Santos of New York. Before that vote, he spoke with Fox News.
If it's their choice to change precedent and loop me in with three Confederate turncoats who were expelled for treason, so I'll be the first person to get expelled from Congress without a conviction or without committing treason.
He's only the sixth member in the history of the chamber to be removed by his colleagues. A devoted University of Michigan graduate is suing the state after losing his cherished Go Blue license plate. Joseph Hartig III, a suburban Detroit lawyer, said the plate had sentimental value passed down from his late father. When he attempted to renew it, he found it was assigned to another car owner. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I had a couple of run-ins with Cora Lorenzen. Back in the 60s, I wrote a summary of the Socorro, New Mexico case. And I didn't quote them exactly, I just rewrote it in a magazine that I edited at the time. And I get a letter from Cora Lorenzen. She wants me to pay them $100 for using fair material, although the thing had been well publicized. And then, you know, I had a back and forth and basically told her where to go and how to get there in very, very nice language for a teenager. 1975. This is 11, 12 years later. I meet Coral and Jim Lorenzen at a UFO convention in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And Jim Lorenzen was a gentleman. Coral Lorenzen was a crusty kind of woman who stared at me and said, "I remember what you did," in so many words. This stuck in her mind for 10, 12 solid years. And she wouldn't let go of it. So I understand why there might have been bad blood for some people, because not everybody could get along with her. This is not to denigrate the quality of their work, and possibly it was just oil and water there. Other people would say great things about her, whatever it is. I could see where elements of APRO might have resented the Lorenzens and their control of the organization and split off. But that's true with UFO clubs in general. You know, they split apart. It's like rock and roll bands.
That's true. And, you know, I think that the fact that they didn't want to share control. Now, they did have a board of directors, but it sounds like very much that the two Lorenzens, you know, ran everything. And you know, it was a king and queen type situation. And they failed to really set things up so that it passed to someone else's hands when they died. So that was a tragedy. I mean, it's a shame. You know, the organization, there's still people around who are members, and you remember the organization finally, you know, the old APRO bulletins luckily are digitized and online, and you can see they had a lot to offer. And I think they did a lot towards creating a promoting professionalism in ufology instead of just like, you know, they encouraged PhDs to come on as consultants. It wasn't just a, you know, Wild West of every well, you know, not to denigrate you teenage fan club publishers, but you know, they did try to promote professionalism and bring some legitimacy to things.
You see, the difference between APRO and NICAP is very much that. APRO was into investigations, but with NICAP, Major Kehoe was basically lobbying the government to have congressional hearings on UFOs. He said, I'm basically, and he said this in so many words almost exactly, I am here working to put NICAP out of business, hoping the government will reveal what it knows about UFOs, and he believed it was spaceships, and then he can go on with his retirement or whatever. Unfortunately, Kehoe had his own problems, which we don't want to get into here. But NICAP really didn't realize its potential at all. And when the Condon Committee happened in the mid to late 60s, that was almost the end of NICAP. Kehoe was fired, and the organization existed, but very little notable work was done by them, although we had lots and lots of dedicated people.
Yeah, it would be interesting if you could, if we had a do-over and you had someone who was basically a good office manager and could deal with these personalities. And so Donald Kehoe being assigned the role of leadership of the organization was a poor use of his talent, because he had all this network and the reason he was able to write his first book was the contacts he had in the military. And then when you put him behind a desk and he's having to worry about budget concerns and things like that, you know, he can't produce like he was supposed to. And when you have to worry about the memberships, you know, the dues and things like that, mailing the newsletters, that's a waste of talent.
He also misused the money, because I don't think he really was aware of how to handle that financially. I had heard that they actually found envelopes with money on his sofa at his home, which we can believe. But as you say, that wasn't where his talents were situated. Actually, in most cases, NICAP was run during his tenure there by Richard Hall. He was an assistant director, and he was basically the office manager. He was there every day. Went to work, did this thing, and Kehoe came in every few days to check things out.
With the Lorenzans, just the I don't know how you could have negotiated with them to share some control of things, but you know what they built was great, but they just failed to deal with the aging of the organization. Literally and figuratively, and you know, where it grew in other places and competition and other things like that. You know, they chose to kind of circle their wagons and be hostile towards, you know, anyone else, and that just wasn't the way to go. And you know, there was lip service to communication and sharing information, but you know, in reality, it worked a lot differently. So anyway, I think there's a lot of valuable lessons in you know, the old organizations, the way they investigated, the way they operated, and I'd like to see some of those mistakes be avoided. But it seems like, you know, we mentioned the Salt Foundation earlier, and there are more UFO organizations that have sprung up in the last few years than I can name, and some of them have already flamed out. But I just don't think there's enough. There's not enough material to support them. I don't know if there's enough dollars to support them, but I don't think there's definitely not enough talented researchers and dedicated people to support them all.
I'd just like to know how David Marler was able to get a hold of APRO's material Because, I mean, it's been an object of contention for a number of years that these files have been sitting in, you know, a locked garage, moldering away, with nobody being able to take a look at them. So I have to hand it to David for finally getting this taken care of. And I look forward to seeing some of this material in the years to come, because it's going to take a while to go through it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one thing, one bad thing about this Marler's organization, he's got some great people involved, but most of them live the several states away from where the collection is. So it's going to, they're really going to need some help in processing all this. I'm looking over my notes now. Yeah, it's 13 four-drawer file cabinets and 60 boxes. Mm-hmm. So apparently the owners of it finally decided that he didn't want to deal with them anymore. And he apparently searched on the internet and found David Marler in a YouTube video and found him to be a credible and serious researcher and contacted him. Thank goodness he didn't watch some other videos, because there were some really much worse places where this could have ended up.
Well, that's good to know. It's good to have the information, all the work they did over the years, forgetting about the personalities and all that nonsense, which afflicts lots of organizations. Don't get me started about MUFON, because in general, MUFON to me looks like more of a marketing organization to evangelize the message that UFOs are here than to do solid research and figure things out. Correct me if I'm wrong. We've got more with Tim and Kurt and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I was ranting there about MUFON. I wonder whether Kurt or Tim had any response. Kurt?
I share your opinion of MUFON in many respects. Now, I think there are a lot of good people who are still involved and sincere, but the organization, the leadership has had problems, you know, and the structure of it, it's partly business. They have to sell memberships. They have to sell conference tickets, things like that. And I think they've appealed to sometimes the lowest common denominator. And I think they really sacrificed some of the principles on which they were founded on. And, you know, it's just bureaucracy is part of the problem. So there have been a number of efforts over the years to reform MUFON. And I think it's a shame that it wasn't successful because there's a lot of potential. They still have, you know, a good network of collecting UFO cases, and they have a good body of work to draw on. I'm worried that it'll eventually collapse. I don't know how you persuade the leadership or the board of directors or what's necessary to make changes, but I think it's really gone astray.
You would have to, however, convince them there was something that needed to be changed.
Yeah, so that's, you know, anytime you go to a restaurant or a club, you know, and they look at the 10 people that are there, they say, well, I don't see anybody here complaining. And, you know, and there's a bunch of empty chairs. Well, you know, the people who are not there and will never come back, they're the ones you need to find out, you know, what their feelings are and, you know, what's wrong with things. And you know, a lot of those places, you know, they die out because they're not new people coming in and the old people never come back.
Well, also, it looks like MUFON hasn't grown all that much. Hasn't it always been in the 4,000 member range?
I think so. It's sort of just they've had a little boost from when they had a television show on, and you know with the recent, you know, since 2017, the more people talking about UFOs in the mainstream media, I'm sure they benefited from that. But you would think, if they were really doing things right, it would have just exploded. It would have maybe doubled or tripled. So, but I just don't think that there's a number of problems. And I think in their response to things has been to, you know, they've tried to commercialize things more. They've had the MUFON TV channel, and they used to allow pretty good search for just any person of the database to find cases, and now membership was required. And I think it's gotten even more closely controlled. So, you know, we talked about APRO circling their wagons. It seems like MUFON's in that stage of their cycle.
Well, remember, it was derived from APRO in the first place. It was a splinter organization. Anyway, let's get away from the UFO clubs and get into more stuff. Tim, you have some questions from our audience?
Yes, absolutely. We've got our first question is from SLR Plus, and they ask, since bringing it up, why not drive into UFOlogy's dumpster? Ooh, like that. Question is, where to start? So many tire fires, and yet so little time. So he says, for anyone willing to take a stab at it, to anyone's knowledge, did Habib Hassan ever fork over the 10K promise to the person who provided truthful information on the whereabouts of the Bean's body shown during the Bee Witness event, which allowed its location and retrieval? He says, I'm simply going out on a limb here and suggesting the beneficiary would be that of the Roswell Slides Research Group.
Oh, boy. So
yeah,
I can answer that question, but do either one of you want to give the listeners a recap on who Jaime Masson is and what he does?
Let's give him the 1 minute he deserves.
Well, he's the from Mexico, and he has a show. I can't remember the name of the show, but I know he's been called. His show is like the Mexican 60 Minutes, I at one time heard. But I think he's probably best known. Well, recently he's been known because he's gotten himself involved with the Peruvian alien bodies that were shown, I guess, a couple of times in front of the Mexican Congress, trying to say that these were actual extraterrestrial beings. But he's also well known for the whole Roswell Slides fiasco, and actually had a televised event where they sold tickets to actually be there or to view it live. And Red Pill Junkie, who used to be part of the show, who's from Mexico, I think he was actually there at the presentation.
Right. Yeah, and so Masson, he's the old UFO Watchdog site had an entry on Masson. So one of the other things he's done is there's been a number of times over his career where he's produced the body of some weird creature claiming that it's a cryptid or an alien. And on his show and his conference appearances will present just about any picture or video, no matter how unlikely. And, you know, he has a constant need to promote new material for his audience. So anyway, in the Roswell slides that you mentioned back in 2015, he was promoting this event where Tom Carey and Don Schmidt had been approached by someone who had come across this slide with, there was two Kodak slides of supposedly an alien body. And they connected it to the Roswell event, thought that President Eisenhower had somehow been involved in his earlier military career and granting them access. It was just pretty convoluted and imaginative story. Well, it was eventually revealed. The pictures were presented at this conference, and there was a live stream event that was a kind of a pay-per-view thing. And once the pictures were out, in one of the slides, there was a shot of what was actually a sign on the body. And the Roswell Slides Research Group that was mentioned, I was part of that team, and a French member took this blurry picture and used software on it to stabilize it. And it was a description, mummified body of 2-year-old child. It was in a glass case inside of a museum in Mesa Verde, New Mexico, or is it Arizona? I forget. But it was just the fact that it was a desiccated child's body that that looked strange, and it was small, so, you know, it kind of looked like maybe you could imagine that was an alien. So Masson did not accept the explanation, and he offered people $10,000 if you could produce the body, $5,000 if you could find another picture of it in the museum setting, something like that. So he refused to believe it, maintained it was still alien. And associate's not the word. I don't know him personally exactly, but Shepard Johnson, someone I know through UFO correspondence, he contacted me, said that he wanted to get a Freedom of Information Act request to the National Park Service. It was only a month later that they sent him this huge file that included a picture of that body, documentation on where the child's body had been found, the person that discovered it. Unfortunately, he was basically, he requested it, it was sent to him, and it was shared publicly. And this researcher, Tony Bregaglia, who had been instrumental in hyping and promoting the slides as alien, he basically was caller number 10, and he got the $5,000 reward. So the person that was rightfully should be credited for proving. I mean, you know, we already knew that reasonably that it was not alien, just from what the evidence in the picture itself, but the documentation from the museum is what actually proved it. It's something you could take to court.
More about the not Roswell slides with Kurt, Tim, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.